1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. It's the first day of the G20 summit in Brazil and President Biden's final G20. He urged world leaders to continue the cause of ending conflicts around the globe.
President Biden at the G20 summit in Brazil urging world leaders to do more, saying there's a global responsibility to end conflicts around the world in Ukraine.
The United States strongly supports Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Everyone around this table, in my view, should as well.
And in the Middle East.
We're going to keep pushing to accelerate a ceasefire deal that ensures Israel's security, that brings hostages home, and ends the suffering of the Palestinian people and children.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
In a social media post, President-elect Trump says he'll declare a state of emergency to use the military to carry out mass deportations when he takes office. In New York, prosecutors in the Daniel Penny trial rested their case. The Marine veteran is charged with the chokehold murder of Jordan Neely on a subway car. The defense is up next. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Governor Tony Evers has declared this week as Winter Weather Awareness Week in Wisconsin. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains why.
Right now is a time to remember how bad winter conditions can be and how quickly they can escalate. Have a plan.
As always, weather's not convenient, so you may need to travel at a time when the roads are snowy or icy.
That's Matt Friedline with the National Weather Service.
It doesn't take long for frostbite to set in, and it can be deceptive, or your car is not working all of a sudden, and now you're out in the cold, so you're not at home. So those type of things, it's really important to prepare for.
Get a winter weather emergency kit ready and in your car, including blankets or a sleeping bag, extra hats, gloves, possibly a solar charger, and a cord. Don't forget the water, food, and of course a shovel. They sell foldable ones now that'll collapse smaller for space convenience. And snow tires are a good investment too, as they're designed to grip ice better and cut through snow smoother. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Wisconsin State Patrol says 9 people were killed and over 2,000 were injured in the state just last winter. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources announced the winners of the 2024 Wisconsin Recycling Excellence Awards on Friday. Two companies from Northeast Wisconsin made the grade. Ducommun Appleton and Kakana Utilities were recognized for going above what Wisconsin law requires for recycling. Ducommun ships waste to be converted to fuel pellets for Wisconsin power plants, and Kakana Utilities developed a waste management plan to dispose of everything from scrap metal to plastic to paper to concrete and asphalt. For more information on recycling in Wisconsin, visit the DNR's What to Recycle in Wisconsin webpage. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. Log on to WGBW.FM.
The Packers beat the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Yeah, the Packers beat the Bears for the 11th time in a row, setting a new franchise record. Green Bay's Carl Brooks blocking the Bears' attempt to kick a winning field goal. Final score, Packers 20, Bears 19. Matt LaFleur.
Just like you draw it up, right? First of all, got to give Chicago a ton of credit. We knew this is a National Football League. You got to come with your best every week.
College football, the Badgers fired Phil Longo, their offensive coordinator, after losing to Oregon 16-13. Luke Fickell.
Those guys in that locker room, obviously, they fought their butts off. They did everything we asked them to do. They played the way we wanted them to play and we expected them to play. We just right now haven't found a way to be able to finish.
NBA, the Bucks host the Rockets tonight. Doc Rivers fined $25,000 for criticizing the rest after losing to the Hornets Saturday night.
Go back 3 plays when Giannis dunks. The whole team fouled him. The whole team fouled him. And it's a no call.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Look for thickening clouds today. Temps topping out in the lower 50s. Rain develops by late in the day, closer to sunset. For tonight, rain continues. The breeze will pick up as well. Temperatures will be rising into the middle 50s. Right now, 53 degrees.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, an updated version of All the Best People. Paul Trebian will be here to talk about the holiday faux fair, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 now, past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 on the big broadcast. Appreciate Reed Galen, president of the union, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, and host of the Homefront podcast, joining us last half hour. You can find Reed on Blue Skies Now. Says he's peacing out on the Twitter, also on other platforms as well as REEDGALEN, Reed Galen. Also, the union, jointheunion.us, jointheunion.us, and be a part of that great organization, pro-democracy organization as well. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite on Monday, November 18th, 2024. Rain falling here on State Street in downtown Madison. Make sure you have the lights on. Mr. Zommer is looking for perhaps some snowflakes. It's going to get cold. The high is only in the 30s by the end of the week and into the weekend.
Yeah, and I've heard from somebody around the office saying that on either Thursday morning or Thursday night, I don't remember which, it's supposed to snow a bit and then probably won't make it, you know, into the evening.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. No, it's too early. It's too early. gotta get through Thanksgiving.
A few people have said, Aaron, why did you play Christmas music already? I was careful not to do ones that mention Christmas. They were about the cold weather. It was the cold snow-themed songs. It just so happens that they're exclusively used in the holiday season.
Exactly right. Going to talk a little bit more this hour about the post-mortem. And I'm talking about the election, not to drag it out or make people feel bad about it, but I think it's just cathartic, to use a word. It makes you feel better to get it out of your system and to try to really, less on the emotional side, more on the fact-based side, looking at the data and numbers to, as Reed said, I love that what he said, by the way, what Reed Galen said, you know, kind of what is a revolutionary, what is a resistance, you know? As he said, that has different connotations in this world these days. I liked what he said. It's just time to get to work. Just get to work.
And if you want to listen to what he said, you can go to civicmedia.us and look at shows and find the podcast of the first hour.
There you go. Thank you very much, Mr. Zommers. We appreciate that. My former boss, Dale Schultz, was, you know, back in the day, we would kind of roll our eyes when he said it to us. But the older you get, the more you realize a lot of that stuff is true. He'd say, I want to see your work product. What have you gotten done? I heard that a lot. And it's so true. And I think you can put this in the context of those of us who don't agree or don't like the outcome of the election now, 12 days ago. Let's just get to work. And part of doing that work is to listening to one another and not categorizing ourselves, the voters. I'm not talking about giving up principles, like, in my opinion, what what Mika and Joe did on Morning Joe, as they announced this morning, which is going down and having a face-to-face with Donald Trump and basically, I guess, saying, how can we work together? Everything I said on the show prior to the election, I thought that Trump was a threat to democracy. I believe that he is an authoritarian. I believe it's dangerous to the country to have Trump in there a second term. I believe all those things. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope they don't come true. I hope that I'm proven wrong. But again, when Dahmer and I were talking about this morning, I'll stand corrected if I slipped up and said this. I don't think during the campaign I ever went after Trump voters. You know, I said repeatedly, you know, I'm not talking about the folks that your local sheriff candidate or your register of deeds. I'm talking about Trump and Trump world, the elected officials, the party chairs, the people who know better and still support this. And so I think I agree with Kenneth from Stoughton listening on WMDX. Kenneth writes in on the text line, I agree with your guest, Reed Galen. The Republicans have stayed on message since Ronald Reagan that the enemy is a Democrat. I have friends who have stated, quote, why would you ever vote for a Democrat, unquote. Never mind that the person might have good ideas. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Peggy, been a while since we heard from Peggy from Brooklyn. Always appreciate your listenership, Peggy. What do you say?
Well, I hate to say this, but twice, not once, but twice, the Dems have not listened to their people. They override the people, pick who they want for a candidate. They did it with Hillary. They did it with Harris. And I had multiple conservatives say to me, it's not that they disliked them, but they didn't like the way they handled it for either one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's happened twice now. They need to get their act together.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. But would you agree or disagree? I think the Hillary situation versus Harris was slightly different in that it was found out later that the Democrats at the time had all these things called superdelegates, and like the upper echelon elitist of the Democratic Party kind of pushed Hillary aside, so to speak, and also I shouldn't say pushed her aside, but Bernie actually had a lot more grassroots support, and so they pushed Hillary in 08 and then in 16. Yes. And particularly in 16.
Yes, totally agree.
But that's different, I think, in 16 than what happened here, where, you know, Harris, I think, did as good a job as she could do with what she was given. It was Biden's decision to step aside.
But we knew before we got that far. We knew Biden is excellent, but we knew he was too old, and we did not fix that. And we got to be able to groom some people up as a backup position. And we knew he was too old 2 years before he ran. It's ridiculous. And they do it over and over and over again.
I don't disagree with that, but I think that, in my opinion, that's more of the Democratic leadership or whatever you want to say fault, more so than Harris. I mean, I don't think that she had a lot to do with that decision.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
So great call, Peggy. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And again, I want to say, because I think this is really important, I personally don't believe that there is, you know, one reason that Donald Trump won again and that Vice President Harris lost. I just am not of the belief that you can point to it and say, well, this happened. I think there are a lot of different things. I think what Peggy brought up there is certainly one of them. But it's been 12 days since we learned the presidential. Can you believe that? It's up 12 days already.
Yeah, I can believe it. Cause it's
It seems like a lifetime. Yeah, exactly. So now that the fog has cleared, although there's some fog, I think, in low-lying areas across Wisconsin, but a bit of the political fog has cleared. Thought we'd take a few minutes just to pause and reflect. As my great teacher, Andy Spies, is fond of saying, pause and reflect and review what the heck happened. So first, the outcome here. In the Electoral College, Donald Trump won 58% of the votes, and Vice President Harris won 42% of the votes. Trump won six more votes than he did in 2016 and six more votes than Biden won in 2020. The popular vote, it is close and getting closer. Trump won a smidge less than 50% of the vote, of the popular vote. And Harris won 48.2%. So Donald Trump received 2.6 million more votes than Vice President Harris. The last time a Republican won the popular vote was George W. Bush in 2004. So people are going to get nuanced about this. You say, well, Trump won the majority of the popular vote. Actually, he didn't. He won the percentage, he won less than 50%, but he won the majority of the overall popular vote. In the Senate, Democrats had a very slim majority, but now Republicans have a three-seat majority. In the House, Republicans have held on to their slim majority. Vice President Harris was not necessarily undone directly by racism or sexism. And, you know, there's a lot of people that just don't buy that election, that argument. Third parties didn't, quote unquote, spoil the race, although they might have contributed to it. Higher turnout would not necessarily have helped the vice president. So what did happen? Well, the Democratic polling group Blueprint surveyed voters on reasons why they did not choose Kamala Harris. The top reason was inflation and the bigger economic picture, anxiety about falling behind financially, fear that the American dream was falling from reach. The second and third reasons were too many immigrants illegally crossing the border and too much focus on cultural issues rather than helping the middle class. The Trump campaign promised better economic times and tapped voter anger with a promise of upheaval in how the country is run, including mass deportations, America first isolationism, and a strong man government. The Trump campaign successfully defined Vice President Harris as Democrats as, quote, out of touch with middle America and the cost of living crisis and the culture, unquote. In 2024, abortion turned out to be a much more insignificant factor for voters than first thought. Not the defining issue, just 2 years ago in the 2020 midterm elections. Demographically, Vice President Harris actually won a larger share of white votes than every Democratic presidential candidate since 2008. But she lost because the gains with whites in 2024 were more than offset by losses amongst non-white voters, both men and women alike. So here is a sentence that is shocking but true. Democrats lost because everyone except for white voters moved in the direction of Donald Trump this cycle. I mean, think about that. If I would have told you that before the election, you would have said I was nuts. But Democrats lost because everyone except for white voters moved in the direction of Donald Trump this cycle. Is that a new cycle? We'll tell you when we come back. Take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842 is Todd Allbull's show on Civic Media.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
To all you tool people out there, has Harbor Freight got a deal for you? Big savings every single day this November. Because we know that right now, when the price of everything only seems to go up, you need a place where prices stay low. So shop in-store or online for quality tools you can trust at prices you'll love every day. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
Matt and Air on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 21 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Monday, November 18th. Glad to have you along. Postmortem, kind of looking back, not so much emotional, but facts and figures. What do the numbers tell us about this election? Want to finish this up? Lots of phone calls to get to. As our friend Matt Flynn likes to say, do not hang up. We see you on the lines. Go to the phones in just a minute. Right before the break, a sentence that was shocking but true. Democrats lost because everyone, talking about nationally, because everyone except for white voters moved in the direction of Donald Trump this cycle. And is that a new trend? No, it is not. Democrats have been losing non-white voters in every midterm and general election since 2010. While Democrats have been talking about winning back white working class voters, they have lost support among their traditionally more multi-ethnic base. So looking ahead, if Democratic candidates want to win future elections, voters will need to perceive them as caring more about the working class families of every race than caring about marginalized groups. You just can't take people for granted. I don't care if it was Black community, Latino community. And again, by the way, it's Latino and Latina. Quit trying to force white elitist language onto people. Latinx is not a thing. Your messaging is part of the issue as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Carolyn in Monroe listening on WMDX. Carolyn, thanks for holding. Let's see.
Hi. Yeah, I agree. Every time either Harris or Walz said middle class, I wish they said working class. Mm-hmm. Unions built the middle class. We've been low on unions, and middle class goes along with the lack of unions.
Yeah. Our friend Rick Smith, the Rick Smith Show, can be heard every evening here on Civic Media. He talks about this all the time. The language should be working people. Working people.
Yep. Working people.
Right? and that cuts, by the way, that cuts through racial, economic barriers.
Everything, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I appreciate the call, Carolyn. Hang in there. Thanks so much. Appreciate you being a listener. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to David in Mequon. David, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
Thank you for taking my call. And I told your call screener, if you read the Washington Post, this is the biggest swing in the Catholic vote since exit polling is since 1972, I guess, since they've done this. Mm-hmm. Biden won the Catholic vote the last election by 2%.
He's Trump, Catholic.
This election, won, he won it by 18%. So he had a 20% gain. Mm-hmm. A lot of people forget, this is, I'm just telling you from perspective, obviously, I've told you before that I'm Jewish. Mm-hmm. But I did not help when Harris, she skipped out on the Al Smith dinner, mm-hmm. which a lot of Catholics took as a huge snub. She also was pushing against Catholic hospitals where they would have to perform abortions. And you know, she just kept doubling down on that. And when you keep doing that, and a lot of Hispanics are actually more conservative than people realize.
They're socially,
a religious group of people, yeah, socially. Mm-hmm. And so when you mock a whole, the biggest voting bloc, religiously, the Catholics in the United States, that's ultimately what was her huge downfall. Yes, there's inflation. Yes, there's other stuff. But ultimately, when you kick somebody in the mouth enough, you know, when you have that large a swing, mm-hmm. that is a direct result of her way of thinking is to, oh, this is how I'm going to win.
I appreciate the call, David. And again, I think it's one of the things. Again, I'm not of the belief that it was just one thing, but I think you raise a great point, and I think it was one of the things. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Joe listening here in Madison on WMDX. Joe, always a pleasure. What say you?
It's interesting to sort of decipher what may be happening. I think for me, part of what's happening is that, I mean, it really has come a time where facts just don't matter, and that there is this cult-like attitude toward Trump where he seems to be the guy that's going to be my tribe and I'll be protected, or he will bite down on the people that I want him to bite down on. But facts have really gone. Facts are really out of the picture. So I think it really, I don't know if it pertains just to having Trump running. If it were Vance running and he were saying some of the sorts of things that Trump has said, would it be okay? But I bring it up in part because I was looking at the Milwaukee Journal online. I was looking at the Hubdy comments, and mm-hmm. the headline said on Milwaukee Journal, which is not a liberal paper, right. said it said that Hubdy concedes to Baldwin, comma, repeats false claims. And then on the same side, saying, you know, above the fold of the electronic version, if you will, mm-hmm. there was a little blurb. It was for an article that has since been taken out. Dairy farmers hit hard if Trump deportation goes ahead. Well, it's going ahead. He right. said that on day one, he's going to be having the military come forth. So the facts are there. People don't want to look at them. Inflation is down. People don't want to look at it. You know, gas prices came down. People don't want to look at it. The economy is surging in many measurable ways, and in ways that are tough, like housing being affordable. Harris offered a plan that, you know, the $50,000 for starting a new business in tax credit, $25,000 in for buying a home in a tax credit. Man, I would have loved to have credits like that. I just thought that was an incredible gift. And those are facts. They don't matter. So it's a peculiar time of really the facts don't matter. The facts of Jill Scarborough saying that Trump is next to Hitler and now he's going down to have cocktails with him. Right. I mean, come on.
Totally
facts
agree.
Don't matter. But so how do you combat that? How do you combat that?
Well, I'll answer that after the break, but really quickly before we let you go, I've got about 30 seconds here. I mean, I'm of the belief that, and I'm not trying to wish any ill will, but I to your point, Joe, I think some people are just going to have to have some of these terrible things happen until they finally say, oh, wait, I guess I was wrong. I don't know how you get through to them without having them live through the hard experience.
I don't know either. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And it might be the point of having a psychologist on to talk about this because you know, people, for example, in marriages will hang on, and then suddenly realize, why did I believe this guy's lies? You know, that sort of thing. Anyway, thanks a lot.
Yep, appreciate it, Joe. Thank you so much. Yep, always appreciate you. More phone calls after this, 855-752-4842. It's the All Ball Show right here on a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd All Ball Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin has a shortage of attorneys and judges. This makes for slow justice. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Wisconsin's court system faces a case backlog and attorney shortage. State Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler raised both issues during her State of the Judiciary address. Ziegler said some counties have actually increased their backlog. The felony backlog currently stands at about 12,000 cases, which is a slight increase from where the courts were this time last year. Ziegler said a pool of reserve judges is helping address the backlog, but a shortage of attorneys contributes to that problem, particularly in rural counties. A 2021 state bar report found 7 counties with no attorneys. Ziegler said access to justice is seriously compromised when members of the public who are exercising their constitutional right to be represented by counsel with an attorney cannot obtain one.
Ziegler made her comments last week. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin claimed corporate profits are up 75% in 3 years, but that's a misleading figure. Here's Wisconsin Watch's Tricia Young with the facts.
Senator Tammy Baldwin claimed profits increased by 75% over 3 years. Her campaign cited a report showing a jump from mid-2020 to mid-2022, but that math uses as a starting point a brief, steep decline in corporate profits during the COVID pandemic. Federal data indicates profits are up 19% since 2021. Economists note that corporate profits have stayed around 16% of national income. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's been lots of talk in the news lately about celebrity biopics. Some that make you go, really? Mariah Carey, however, has a great bio with many elements that would make an interesting drama. She had a toxic marriage to a record producer, has the most popular modern Christmas song ever, is loaded with grit and resilience, and seems to value privacy unlike some other pop icons. Most importantly, when it comes to her career, she holds the record for the solo artist with the most number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100. That's right, folks. She's got more number one hits than Elvis. Director Lee Daniels hinted at the possible film on social media, which would be based on the 2020 book about Carey titled The Meaning of Mariah Carey. Staying in the world of biopics, Boyz II Men is also working on a film about their 30-year career. The influential R&B group with hits like It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday and End of the Road are 4-time Grammy winners. There is no release date at this time. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Look for thickening clouds today. Temps topping out in the lower 50s. Rain develops by late in the day, closer to sunset. For tonight, rain continues. The breeze will pick up as well. Temperatures will be rising into the middle 50s. Right now, 53 degrees.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and today's Work Money word is fiduciary. Well, fiduciary is a mega important term that you gotta know when it comes to getting professional financial advice. In the world of money, you want someone committed to the fiduciary standard because those folks are legally obligated to act in your best interest only. I mean, every other broker or advisor or banker who has not specifically committed to the fiduciary standard and told you that that's what they're doing, those folks don't have that obligation. They could be selling you products or encouraging you to invest in things or put your money in places that end up helping their wallet even more than yours. So simply put, anytime that you are hiring a financial advisor, ask them if they uphold the fiduciary standard. For me and mine, fiduciary advisors are the only ones I'm trusting my money to. That was your Work Money Minute. For more, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison filmmaker and musician James Runde. And Civic Media host Earl Ingram joins the show to talk about his favorite film noirs. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tuttle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us. Zommer's on the board, taking your phone calls, and then give me the high sign, just like the Little Rascals. You ever heard of that show, Zommer's, the Little Rascals?
I mean, a movie show, I don't know.
It used to be on TV. It was on TV before my time, and then when I was a kid, they'd show it like on TBS or Turner or whatever.
Right, right.
And Little Rascals, you had, Spanky and Alfalfa.
Yep, the Alfalfa hair is iconic.
And they give each other the high sign. It was one of these things. They put their hand up to their chin and wiggled their fingers. That was the high sign. So he'll give me the high sign. When you call in, Zommer's will give me the high sign. That's how I know.
I guess I'll have to start doing that.
We'll go to the phone lines. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Clean up a couple of things. Was doing that piece, looking back factually on the election. And Andrew in Maine, God love him, helped me out when I didn't. I the word was on the tip of my tongue and I couldn't say it. The word I was looking for is plurality. Plurality. So we were talking about earlier that demographically, Vice President Harris, let me see where to get, let me get those actual numbers here where I was trying to get to that. Here we go. So on the popular vote, Donald Trump won a smidge less than 50%, and Harris won 48.2%. So Donald Trump received 2.6 million votes more than Vice President Harris. And so the Trump won a plurality of the vote and not a majority. He still won the most votes in terms of a popular vote. But thank you. Appreciate that, Andrew. The word I was looking for was plurality. I'll take plurality, Alex, for 500. Also, and Joe touched on this a little bit in our last call, just to keep you up to speed here, according to Channel 3000 here in Madison, CBS affiliate, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate Eric Hovde conceded the race for Senate in Wisconsin to Democrat Senator Tammy Baldwin today, nearly 2 weeks after the election. In a message to his supporters posted on X, formerly Twitter, Hovde said, quote, "A request for a recount would serve no purpose," unquote. He also repeated his previous complaints that have been unfounded about absentee ballots in Milwaukee County and called the legitimacy of some ballots into question. Again, that has proven to be untrue. He went on to say that "I am proud that we received 1.64 million votes, more than any Republican in Wisconsin history, aside from President Trump's total on Tuesday night," unquote. According to unofficial results, it shows that Hovde garnered just over 1.64 million votes, just shy of Tammy Baldwin's 1.67 million votes. So again, Eric Hovde technically conceding, and more importantly, this is a big sigh of relief for county clerks, because if you've never gone through a recount, I've been a part of one representing a candidate, it is a huge chore, a huge undertaking, and very costly. So I appreciate Eric Hovde conceding the election and saying that he lost and not going to force a recount that would most likely, well, not most likely, it would not show a difference in the election. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you want to weigh in as we go through a little bit of this postmortem, go down to Stoughton here in Dane County. CJ listening on a rainy afternoon. And CJ, is it raining down there in Stoughton?
Actually, I'm in Middleton.
Oh, you're in Middleton. Yeah, all right. Point. Very good. All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Sprinkling right now. All right, CJ, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. What do you have?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. I really appreciate it, especially since you consider yourself a former Republican. I guess I'm shocked because to listen to your previous guest, he says the Republican Party has left, but I think it was proved that the Democrat Party has left their voters, their candidates, and what they stand for. They won't even accept a Kennedy to run in a primary.
Well, his own family, but CJ, wait, his own family is not even accepting him. His own family disavowed RFK Jr. So I think we need to start there. But I mean, But I think that's, I mean, I always appreciate your perspective. Not going to diss on you. Your perspective is whatever you feel, right? But I think what Reed Galen, our guest, I'm in political mode. Everybody's a candidate. Reed Galen, our guest last half hour, you know, he helped run George W. Bush's races. His dad helped run George H.W. Bush's races. He knows more than either one of us about Republican mainstream politics. And what he's saying is people like that, you know, people who are involved in what used to be considered mainstream politics, they've already been shunned by Trump and the Trump world. And things that they believed in have also been shunned by Trump and Trump world. So that what used to be known as the tenets of the Republican Party are simply dead. On the Democratic side, you have, you know, Vice President Harris, who is still running on many of the traditional things that you would have seen Bill Clinton run on, that Barack Obama ran on, that Joe Biden ran on. So it's not that, yes, I mean, there's different takes on it, but if you just look at the fundamental tenets, I think that's what he's talking about.
Well, you had a previous caller who listed things that went are going well, but she forgot to list the world's on fire. No country was invaded. The disgraceful Afghanistan didn't happen, and people are still living the inflation. You know, and journalism is truly dead, Todd. It's sad to watch. And, you know, we found out, you know, things like I get it why Trump is mad, because some of our own faithful institutions spied on him and lied about him. And people like Paul Ryan, who I actually door hung for, can't believe that crap. So he's got good reason. Trump has good reason to be upset that they've ruined our most precious institutions. And he has a right to question it, because we've watched it happen to him. He's lived it. And the American people saw it with these crimes that supposedly committed. But they looked the other way when Hillary, you know, got rid of 30,000 emails.
All right. I appreciate perspective. I appreciate the perspective, CJ. Want to give you your take. Obviously disagree. I should say obviously, but disagree with it. Again, this narrative, I'm not going to sit here and rehash the election, but the narrative that somehow the world was completely at peace when Donald Trump was president is just factually not true. I mean, ask the hundreds or at least over 100 military personnel that came back with major head injuries due to the attack on their base in the Middle East when Trump was president, and he pawned it off as quote unquote headaches and didn't want to support our military personnel and the veterans. That's just factual. You know, you can't make that up. But appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, always a pleasure. What's the?
You had to play CJ first.
Sorry, Bob. Well, you know,
has CJ ever read the withdrawal agreement from Afghanistan that Donald Trump signed with the Taliban? Hmm. He abandoned our allies in Afghanistan to the tender mercies of the Taliban for Afghanistan. He abandoned the Kurds in Syria, and that base we abandoned in Syria and turned that, and the Russians just rolled right into that base in Syria while Donald Trump was president. He reduced the number of troops in Afghanistan to 2,500 when Joe Biden took office in January of 2021. And that, you know, there's part of that on Donald Trump for signing that agreement with. He invited them on 9/11, the Taliban 9/11, to Camp David to have a
Taliban. I get all the past history and again, I don't want to rehash it, but you can bring up good points, Mark. But what did you call about?
Well, it's deer season is coming up, and Eric has now recognized the fact that he didn't want those poor people to have to do a recount during deer season, because where I grew up, the far northern Wisconsin, it was actually kind of another holy week as far as deer season.
Yes.
There used to be Park Falls used to shut down their school system during deer season.
Really?
I mean, back years ago.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yes, they did. I mean, because so many kids are out deer hunting. Uh-huh. I mean, and I'll climb up my deer stand, you know, on Saturday morning and hang my little bird feeder next to me so the chickadees come and visit me all day. So I'm entertained by that. So I'm like St. Francis of Assisi up there, you know, as far as the birds flocking around me that, you know, not that I'm a saint by any stretch of the imagination, but mm-hmm. I mean, it is just a, you know, that, and Thanksgiving is that, you know, something we recognize as a nation, even though it's ironic that reading some history books that every time the Puritans, you know, had a battle and won against the natives that they're fighting against there, they had a feast of Thanksgiving, thanking God for the fact that they won a battle. And that
the irony is not lost.
I'm glad Hubby finally conceded, but
yes,
he had to
right.
throw that dig in there about on Milwaukee and right. that
well that's what know, I wanted to that, point out is just not true
kind, yeah. that negates any kind of goodwill we should feel toward Eric Hubby, because he once again attacked the people of Milwaukee and the people of the state of Wisconsin, the electoral system in the state of Wisconsin. And if I ran into Eric Hubby today, I'd tell him that to his face.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
I mean, I'm
that.
Not, I'm.
I think here. I mean, Mark, yeah, what I would say is, I do appreciate the fact that he conceded and said he lost the election. I would just call him a sore loser. You know, I mean, because he could force a recount. He could just go on and never admit that he lost, like Trump did in 2020. So I think he does deserve a modicum of credit for admitting that he lost and not forcing local clerks to a recall. But he's a sore loser. And that's unfortunate.
Yes, he certainly is.
Yeah.
Thanks,
all right.
God.
Thanks, Mark. Always appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Rebecca listening in Milwaukee, talking about the former caller, not Mark, but the former caller. Just saying that folks that constantly bring up the Afghanistan withdrawal seem to conveniently forget Trump's own involvement in Afghanistan, as Mark so accurately pointed out. Good just to keep people on the straight and narrow. 46 minutes now past the hour. A couple other headlines for you. Kudlow. Are you? Probably not too many fans of this show that are fans of Fox. But on Friday, the Wall Street Journal reported that Trump was, quote, considering tapping Fox Business Network host Larry Kudlow for a senior economic policy role. But within hours, the story was updated to say that Kudlow doesn't want to return to government. And a Fox News rep said that he recently signed a new deal. I bet he did. Quote, he has no plans, Kudlow, to leave his current role helming one of the highest rated shows on the network. Now, that is playing stuff right there. That is, well, I don't know. I might leave. Wait a minute. Let's up your contract to give you more money and give you a longer deal. Oh, I think I'll stay. Larry Kudlow. Never,
sounds about right.
Never one to let, you know, an opportunity go to waste. Very interesting. Here's one. That I mean, there's been a lot of talk about InfoWars, the ridiculous, over-the-top, there aren't enough bad adjectives to describe Alex Jones of the InfoWars.
Certainly not ones you can say on the radio.
Exactly. Was sold to The Onion. Used to be Madison-based satirical newspaper, back in print again and online. But reports are a judge will hear Alex Jones's challenge to the auction of his conspiracy theory platform, InfoWars, which was sold to satirical news outlet The Onion last week. It is unclear when the hearing will take place. Jones's attorneys argued in front of Judge Chris Lopez that the auction process was not conducted in a fair and transparent manner. No matter who won the bidding, the judge in the case would have had to bless the sale overseen by a court-appointed trustee. But Lopez did express some skepticism about how the process unfolded. What's more, hang on to your bonnets. Elon Musk's ex is getting involved. Lawyers for the company submitted a request for notice, meaning that they want to be notified of any and all related activities to the case. On X, Ben Collins, the Onion chief executive, said that he has not heard of changes to the sale other than the claims that Jones's team made. Quote, we expected all of this. Obviously, buying the site was always going to be fun later on, but annoying right away. Unquote. It's not a done deal yet. We'll see where the chips fall. Hope that The Onion and all those families get a win. Back with more after this. It's the All Ball Show to wrap it up on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
No matter how you say it, Berenson's Candies in Green Bay has been synonymous with Christmas tradition since 1925. That means a trip to Green Bay without Berenson's Candies could get you in a lot of trouble. Stock up on your favorites like Meltaways, Pecan Turtles, and Angel Food. When buying your candy this year, you better make it Berenson's. The Berenson's family wishes you a Merry Christmas season. Berenson's Candies, 200 North Broadway in Green Bay. The chocolate people dream of, no matter how you say it.
Keep the elements out of your home with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We had howling wind coming through. The rooms were freezing. We were very apprehensive about changing them because we were worried about losing the charm of the home. We went with Pella because we knew that they had an amazing reputation. We knew that they were going to have the windows that would look like they've been there forever, but with all the functionality that a window should have.
Order from Pella today and get no interest and no payments for 12 months. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. Ends 11/30/2024.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. Little CBS or ABC radio news for you, depending upon which station you are listening to across the Civic Media Network, across the great state of Wisconsin. Little weather update for you. Little sports weather. Sports reporter Mike Clemens still coming down off that high. Packers win on a blocked field goal. How sweet it is. As Jackie Gleason once said. Mike Clemens will update us on sports. So then it is the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4 today. This will be fantastic. Maggie sits down with Center for American Progress Action Fund's Tom Moore to talk about Donald Trump's personal selection process, recess appointments, what they are, why they're so dangerous, what can be done to push back on them, as well as ways Matt Gaetz could undermine democracy as Attorney General. All coming up today following our program on the Maggie Dawn Show. So stay tuned for that. By the way, inside sources, talking to more and more people, do not believe that Matt Gaetz will get appointed. I'm not so sure. I think it's a coin flip.
That's what I was going to say. I see it as a coin flip because, yeah, people are talking a big game, but a lot of these are the same representatives who say, wow, we got these great things done for our local infrastructure. And then community note, they voted against the bill.
Right, exactly. We play that line from Hamilton all the time, right? I mean, they all puff, they all huff. Oh, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to support Trump's lunacy or perceived lunacy or actual lunacy. And then Trump just says, you'll be back. Wait and see. And they come back.
They do.
They come back almost every single time. So I think that Gaetz has a legitimate shot of getting confirmed.
I really, hope he doesn't.
But... Oh, me too. I'm not saying I want it.
I know.
I'm just saying, you know, that people say, oh, there's no way it could happen. I'm talking about people that I've talked to on the more conservative side are saying, no, there's no way it could happen. or it's not going to happen. He's too crazy. I don't know. Yes, he's. His stances on things, there is a guy, Matt Gaetz, who really is into retribution, amongst other things, as it turns out, allegedly, as they say. Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy? That phrase is kind of, people don't say that too much anymore, but are you a Netflix guy?
Well, asking if I'm a Netflix guy and if I'm a Netflix and chill guy are two very different things.
Well, pardon me.
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant to, like, watch a movie together or watch something on Netflix together and have a beverage or,
No, Netflix and chill is you say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex. That's
now,
what Netflix and chill
minute.
Means.
Get
no,
out.
100%. That's what that means. Is you if you're like, I have my girlfriend over for Netflix and chill, that's what that means.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill?
Yeah, you gotta rephrase that.
People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude, that they didn't like what I wanted to watch. Really?
Yeah, that's, yep.
Really?
That's the excuse, like, oh, we're just going to cuddle and watch a movie, haha.
See? An old dog can learn new tricks. Wow. I did not know that.
I do have Netflix, though.
Well, what other... Hang on. My godson, Jason, we were talking this weekend. He also taught me a new word. What is it? Hang on. I can't find it now. I'll find it for you. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Oh, yeah, here it is. When I was talking about telling him that Locke, we're talking about the quarterback of Wisconsin. And I said, look, Locke's really that good. And Jason says, well, continues to prove he's booty cheeks.
Like, yep.
Booty cheeks just means you're really bad at something or terrible. It's crap. It's not good.
Exactly.
It's like negative.
Because just saying, like, there's another word for donkey. You could say something is to say it's bad. So that's the same thing, but
so
different
Netflix
word.
And chill means to come on over and hook up.
Yep.
I did not know that. All right. Well, I'll see. I learned something new. That's better than the story I've got. The streaming giant Netflix alluded on Friday night's widespread technical difficulties when it announced that a record 60 million unprecedented numbers in today's media, 60 million households tuned in for the Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson fight. Did you see this, Summers?
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, and we don't have a lot of time. I'll just say it was depressing to watch. When you watch them walk out, Mike Tyson looked terrifying, as he always does. Yeah. Round one, I was like, man, if he lands one hit, he could take him out. And then the rest of the rounds, he will just look tired and old he's 58.
Mike Tyson, older than me even, was a great fighter at one time and taking on this young kid in his 20s, Jake Paul, who at one time was like a social media guy.
Crappy YouTuber.
Right. Well, anyway, the boxing mega event dominated social media, shattered records, and even had a buffering system on the ropes, unquote, according to Netflix. Of course, more people tuning in also means more dissatisfied with the experience. Mike Florio.
It did not work at all. It was terrible.
Others noted that Netflix is relying on its own internal data, not an external source like Nielsen, to make the 60 million claim. We know about that. No matter what, the boxing match was one of the most streamed live events in history. Zomers, you were part of history.
I guess so. I mean, against Netflix's best efforts because it wasn't working. Did you had to try like 50 times.
Did you get to Netflix and chill?
No.
Best part of my day. Thank you to Reed Galen for being on the show, president of the union. You can find him at jointheunion.us. Mr. Zomers for doing yeoman's work and teaching an old dog new tricks. And to all of you for listening, Luke Mathers tomorrow. Stay tuned now for Maggie Dawn. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. And Netflix and chill.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Dom Selvia.
Next time, John Nichols from The Nation and the Cap Times. We'll talk about John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, and his relationship to Trump. Plus, Jesse Waters says RFK Jr. is going to make it sexy like the 90s. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.